Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look this evening at the first five verses. We are looking at the subject of running with patience the race set before you. What we have to understand, and I'm sure you already do, is that God has mapped out a plan for your life, mapped out a course that you are to be staying on throughout your life. Run with patience the race that's on the course that God has given us set before you. Now, this race differs for each one of us. We're not exactly the same. We're not serving the Lord in the same place or in the same way, although here in this local church we are in the same place. But there are many believers that are elsewhere throughout the world. In chapter 12, the fifth major section of Hebrews, which began in 10:19, continues. In this section, it's seen that Christ has provided a better way of life. It's the life of faith. In 10:19 through 25, believers were called on to hold fast their confession. And in 10:26 through 39, an alternative was given for those who are wavering. It's either Christ or it's judgment. In 11:1 through 40, some Old Testament examples of faith were cited. In Hebrews 12:1 through 17, believers are commanded that they should follow the example of these Old Testament saints and run with patience the race that is set before them, whereas in 12:18 through 24, it is seen that God can be approached through Jesus. Therefore, according to Hebrews 12:25 through 29, these Hebrews professing faith in Christ, but contemplating abandoning Christ and Christianity, should not refuse God, or they will not escape. In 13:1 through 21, some miscellaneous practical exhortations will be seen. As we begin 12:1 and it goes through verse 4, we see that we should keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Wherefore is understood in the sense of for this reason, then, or therefore, seeing we also are compassed about is understood in the sense of because, since, or inasmuch as we also are compassed about. We also is understood with let us run with patience, like the heroes of faith who are mentioned in chapter 11. They ran with patience the race set before them, and we are likewise going to need to run with patience the race set before us. The term translated are compassed about literally means to put something on someone or to have something on. When used figuratively, as it is in this verse, it means we are clothed in or we are surrounded by. What the readers are clothed in or surrounded by is so great a cloud of witnesses. So great suggests such as this. It has nothing to do with your mommy looking down from heaven and being pleased with what you're doing here on earth. I know people say things like that all the time. But I doubt very much if your mommy can see you or even wants to. All right? She's going to be enamored with the Lord himself. and not concerned about what's going on down here. And I don't believe God is going to allow it anyway. He's got better things for you to do when you get to heaven than to look down here and see the faults and failures of everybody that you knew. That's not going to happen. I know there are people that want to believe that. People like to believe a lot of things. Unfortunately, some of the things just aren't so. So great is literally such as this. Therefore, so great a cloud of witnesses is a cloud of witnesses such as this. And it refers to the saints mentioned in chapter 11. This crowd or cloud of witnesses is surrounding believers. It does not mean that these saints are witnessing or observing what we are doing, as if those in heaven can see what we are doing in our lives. Rather, it means that the readers of Hebrews are surrounded by a great group of people who are testifying or witnessing to them through their experiences in trusting the Lord, regardless of the circumstances they found in their lives. They are witnessing to us regarding what they experienced in living for the Lord because of their faith. Their witness to us is found in the scriptures, where we learn of the things they experienced during their lives. Based on the fact that the readers are surrounded by a great group of people who are testifying to them through their experiences in trusting the Lord, regardless of the circumstances found in their lives, the readers of Hebrews are urged, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us lay aside is understood in the sense of having rid ourselves of, or in the sense of after we have rid ourselves of. And what the readers are urged or exhorted to lay aside or to rid themselves of is every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Every means each. Weight is used in the sense of burden or impediment. It is anything which would hold us back, slow us down, or hinder us in our living for the Lord. Weight does not necessarily refer to something that is wrong in and of itself. It may refer to good things which are not the best things. The sin that doth so easily beset us is the easily distracting sin. Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us is translated in such a way that they may be understood as two different things. However, and may instead be used in the slightly emphatic sense as even, or it may be used in a more emphatic sense as indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly. If and is used in one of these ways, then the sin which doth so easily beset us is identical with the weight which hinders us. They would then be two ways of saying the same thing. Although it is true that any sin would beset a believer, in this context, the particular sin in view is the sin of unbelief in the promise of God. In other words, the author is saying that believers need to take God at His word and keep going. Some have said that this sin which doth so easily beset us refers to any sin. This certainly preaches well, and as far as hindering one's Christian life is concerned, any and all sin will do that. However, the context in Hebrews demands that the particular sin to be judged here is the sin of unbelief. The reader is reminded of the particular sin referred to in Hebrews 3:11 through 12 as being an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Remember, this book was written to Hebrew people, Jewish people, who were professing salvation, but some were contemplating abandoning Christianity and returning to Judaism because they were not pleased with what was happening in their circumstances. If they were to do that, that would be the sin of unbelief in departing from the living God. Believers are not only to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, but they're also admonished or exhorted to run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience, in the way we typically think of it, is not the intended meaning here. The race that is set before us is the course in life which God has mapped out for believers. It is pictured as a foot race. Each believer has had his own course in life mapped out for him by God. It represents God's will for his life. Most of us were born in different places in the world, from each other, that is. That means we started out on different paths, doesn't it? Some of you are ladies, some of you are men. You have different paths as a lady compared with what I would have as a path for a man. You understand? Every path that you have is different from everybody else's. There may be similar places where you're on the same path. For example, in a local church, here we are. And yet we don't have the same talents or abilities. We differ one from another. We do different things. We serve the Lord in different ways. But the path you're on is individual, and you are the only one in the whole world who has exactly this same path. Don't worry about it being different from somebody else's path. Don't try to make yourself a cookie-cutter Christian. Be what God wants you to be as you study the Word of God. The race that is set before us is the course in life which God has mapped out for believers. I said it already, it's pictured as a foot race. Each believer has had his own course in life mapped out for him by God. It represents God's will for his life. And you're in a situation where you're the only one that has this particular will for your life. Nobody else has an identical will of God for his life. Patience is the word for endurance or steadfastness. And with patience suggests with or by means of endurance or steadfast. In other words, believers are to move on for God and to remain true to him by means of endurance, by means of steadfastness, or by means of perseverance. They are to stay the course God has mapped out for them by enduring, by remaining steadfast in, or by persevering in God's plan for their lives. Remember, Paul, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith, and so on. That is set before us means that is lying before us and refers to the rest of his life as a Christian. So here you are. Right now, let's assume you're on course that God has for you. When will this end? When your life ends. If the rapture comes, you're not going to die. That's all right. That's your privilege. That is God's will for your life. That is set before him or us means that is lying before us. It refers to the rest of his life as a Christian. He's to believe what the Lord has said and to go on living for him, meaning for the Lord, no matter what happens. What are you going to experience tomorrow? Well, I know we have plans, but we don't know that that's going to really materialize, do we? The rapture may come tonight and it upsets all of your plans for tomorrow. Your neighbors and relatives will get along without you. They've gotten along without you so far in this life anyway. It'll continue. In 1036, the writer wrote the same truth in similar words. For ye have need of patience, that's endurance, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. As we move into verse 2, we see that we are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when you're running a race in a track meet, you keep your eye on that finish line, especially if it's a sprint. Of course, if you're running around the track, the finish line is not anywhere where you can see it until you're in the home stretch. But you keep your eye on that finish line. Believers are to be looking unto, meaning fixing their eyes trustingly in the sense of while looking. The one unto whom believers are to be looking is Jesus, who is described as the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus endured much throughout the course God the Father mapped out for him. And because of the joy that was set before him, he is the believer's supreme example. And believers need to follow his example while keeping their eyes fixed on him as they run the course in life that God has mapped out for them. Author means originator or founder, and is used in the same sense as it is in Hebrews 2:10, where it's translated captain. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You thought he was perfect. Well, he was in that he was sinless. But here is something he had never previously experienced. And that was the making this perfect through sufferings. He suffered. He experienced it. And therefore, he was complete in that sense. Finisher suggests perfecter or completer. What Jesus is both author and finisher of is our faith, where our faith means Christianity as taught in the Bible. Who refers to Jesus? For the joy that was set before him refers to the result of his dying on the cross by which many would be made righteous. For is used in the sense of instead of, in place of, in exchange for, or because of, which implies that Jesus submitted to the cross in exchange for, or because of the joy which was set before him. The joy suggests the state of joyfulness or the delight that was set before him, suggests which was lying before him. He endured, suggests submitted to, or suffered. It indicates Jesus endured, submitted to, or suffered something rather than fleeing from it. And what he endured was the cross on which he was crucified. Jesus endured crucifixion for us. Despising means looking down on, scorning, or treating with contempt. And it's understood in the sense of because, meaning since, or inasmuch as he despised, he looked down on, he scorned or he treated with contempt. In this context, it's understood as he cared nothing for or he disregarded, or he was unafraid of. Thus, Christ, after considering his options, treated the cross with total disregard. He also treated the shame that would go with the crucifixion as being nothing. What he despised was the shame, which refers to an experience such as disgrace or ignominy which comes to someone who is crucified. He was to be crucified as a common criminal, and the very act of crucifixion in itself would bring all kinds of shame. However, there was far greater shame in his becoming sin for believers. As a result, he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And is set down is literally, and sat down. I know the English teachers today would have a real problem with the way this is translated, but they don't know Greek, and they don't know English back in the 1600s either. They is set down. We had to always distinguish for every English grammarian that I studied under the difference between sit and set. That doesn't hold true here, all right? They don't know this verse. If they did, they'd have to change their approach. The same term is translated sat down in Hebrews 10:12, which says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." The act of sitting down indicates that his work of providing an atonement for sin for all humanity was finished. Where he sat is at the right hand of the throne of God, which implies that he is co-reigning with God the Father over the entire creation. God is God the Father. The throne of God implies the place where God the Father is seated and from which he is reigning. To be seated at the right hand of a king means that the one who is seated there is ruling together with or co-reigning with the king. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In verses 3 and following is seen an exhortation to use Jesus as an example of enduring to the very end. For considers a continue or indicates a continuation of the thought in the sense of now. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Indicates that the believer is to take a long mental look at the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for sinners on the cross, as well as the events leading up to the cross. Endured is the same word used in verse 2, and what he endured was such contradiction, meaning contradiction of such a kind, or contradiction such as this. Contradiction means hostility or rebellion of sinners, suggests by sinners. Here, sinners are treated as a class or group of people. Thus, it was these sinners who caused Jesus to endure such hostility against himself is unto him or upon him. The hostility or rebellion of sinners was directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we know that Satan was behind it all. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds is understood in the sense of in order that or so that you readers of Hebrews not become weary and faint in your minds. Be wearied suggests become weary or become fatigued. And faint means become weary and give up or lose heart or become discouraged in your minds, suggests in your souls and indicates where they might become faint. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Ye, as you plural, refers to the readers as a group. Have not yet resisted unto blood conveys the truth that the readers of Hebrews have not yet gone as far as they could in their stand for the Lord. They are enduring much. but they have not yet given their lives as the Lord Jesus Christ gave his. Not yet speaks of the fact that no matter how much persecution they had endured, and they had endured a great deal of persecution, they still had farther to go. They needed to remember that the Lord Jesus shed his blood for their sins and they should be following his example. Resisted means placed yourselves against or opposed. Unto blood implies unto death by the shedding of blood. Striving is struggling or while struggling against sin, indicates what they were struggling against. The occurs before sin in the Greek text and indicates either that it is a generic use of it, treating sin as a general class, or that it is the particular sin, the sin of unbelief. Inasmuch as the context of Hebrews is dealing with the particular sin of unbelief, this, of course, is the better choice. As we move into verse number 5, we see that believers should expect chastisement. My guess is that very few, if any, of you were shocked when your mother or your dad gave you a spanking. Okay? It's what parents do. And I mean that because they love their children. And we chastise them to get them going in the, and keep them going in the right direction and stay out of things that would be wrong. As believers, we should expect chastisement. Verse 5 indicates that there is something else the readers of Hebrews have done. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Ye, is you plural, of course. The tense of have forgotten indicates that something has taken place in the past and that its result is continuing on. Have forgotten implies that they have forgotten altogether, or they have completely forgotten. They completely forgot something in the past and they still have not yet remembered it. What they have forgotten is the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. The exhortation is, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. This exhortation, which incorporates the rest of verse 5 and all of verse 6, is a quotation from Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. The point that the writer is making is that the readers are the Lord's children, and that the Lord is dealing with them as his children. It is not that they are lost people. They are saved people, and as a normal matter in the course of life, they may expect to be chastised by their heavenly Father so that it might bring about a purity in their lives. They are not being dealt with as if they were illegitimate children, but they are being dealt with as sons of God. The exhortation is the encouragement, which refers to the exhortation and emphasizes a characteristic quality of the exhortation in the sense of which to be sure, or which by its very nature speaketh, suggests, speaks, or preaches. Its present tense denotes the idea that this exhortation always, continuously, or repeatedly speaks or preaches. Unto you is simply to you. And it refers to the readers of Hebrews. As unto children is simply as to children, or as to sons. and indicates a quality characteristic of these readers. It indicates that they really were God's children or God's son. My son pictures the group of God's children as a single individual addressing him as my son. Despise not is a commandment meaning to think lightly of or to make light of, and it's negated. They are not to despise the chastening of the Lord. And its tense implies that its action was already going on and must be stopped. It implies that they were already regarding the chastening of the Lord lightly and they needed to stop doing it. They needed to start taking the chastening of the Lord seriously. Chastening means upbringing, training, or instruction. And in biblical literature, it is usually used in the sense of upbringing, training, or instruction by discipline or by correction. Of the Lord indicates that this chastening comes from the Lord. My guess is that none of us really appreciated our parents disciplining us. Okay? I didn't appreciate it. Today I do appreciate it. I was blessed with having a father who would not let me get by with things I wasn't supposed to do. Did I like it? Absolutely not. It took me a while to figure out that I was blessed. Maybe you've gone through the same experience that I have had. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him indicates something the believers is not to do. Nor faint means nor become weary, nor give up, nor lose heart, nor become discouraged. That never fit me. It made me angry. Okay, I didn't get discouraged. I was more determined than ever to do whatever it was I wanted to do. I'm thankful I had a father who was a big, strong man. Bigger and stronger than I was. And I respected that. I was smart enough not to challenge his authority. Nor faint, likewise, forbids continuing an activity already in progress. Thus, this representative believer is already fainting, giving up, losing heart, or becoming discouraged when rebuked by the Lord, and he needed to stop this. When thou art rebuked of him indicates the circumstance under which he was losing heart. When thou art rebuked suggests while you, singular, are rebuked, maybe because you are rebuked or if you are rebuked. Rebuked may mean reproved or corrected, or it may be used in the sense of punished or disciplined. Of him is by him and indicates direct agency. It is the Lord himself who is rebuking his child. Inasmuch as the Lord always knows best, the believer should willingly submit to his correction. So, how are we handling whatever's going on in our lives, whether we refer to it as chastening, upbringing, training, or instruction, whether by discipline or by correction? We should understand that God's chastening, God's upbringing, God's training, or God's instruction is an indication that we belong to him. It's proof that I'm saved. That he loves us, and he certainly does in spite of us, and that he's trying to make us more and more Christ-like. So why fight this? We should be thanking him for it rather than complaining about it. Our attitude should be, thank you, Lord. I needed this. Help me to learn from it and to be more Christ-like than ever before. So what's going on in your life at this point in time? Remember, the Lord's in control. And whatever it is that's going on in your life has been allowed by the Lord for your good. Okay? Don't forget that. Be thankful. The Lord is doing a work in your life. He's doing a work in my life. And that's going to go on until He takes us home to be with Himself. He's a perfect Father, just exactly what each of us needed. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you that we have this privilege of studying this portion of thy word, and help us, our Father, to realize that we're on a course in life that has been designed or laid out by you for us. And help us not to turn off of that to the right or to the left, but go straight ahead, seeking to be exactly what you want us to be and doing exactly what you want us to be doing. And I pray for our people as we go through varying trials. I pray, God, that you'll meet our needs, use whatever experiences you allow in our lives so that we might be more and more Christ-like. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.